I shared with Linda before I left home this morning, we drive different cars to church, not because we can't get along, but because I can't get her dressed in time. But I shared with her before I left that she needed to pray for me because I was being stressed out about a sermon I was going to preach about being stressed out. I believe a little bit of stress is good for you. A lot of stress can destroy you. A little bit of fire is good, right? We can cook with it. We can heat with it. All that's good. A lot of fire. When our homes burn, that's bad. A little bit of water is good. We can drink and bathe and all that stuff. A lot of water in a flood, that's bad. A little bit of stress is good. It's necessary for us. It causes us to be everything we need to be. So we need a little stress in our life. Too much stress can destroy us. And so I want to talk today about what I believe is a Bible prescription for dealing with the stress, getting rid of the stress. And the first scripture I want to point out is Isaiah 26:3. And it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The problem we have generally when we're stressed out is that we're centered on people or circumstances instead of being centered on God. We are centered and focused on people and circumstances instead of being centered on God. And a way to get that peace in our life is to those people and those circumstances are in our life, and we can't get rid of them, but we can stop centering on them and focusing on them and put our focus on God. If this verse is correct, what happens when I focus on God? What happens in my life? Peace. So I look around at all the circumstances, many times I look at the situation in the church or the situation in the family or the situation with finances or the situation with my vehicles or the situation with relationship with certain people, and you focus on that and you get all upset and bent out of shape. And as long as you stay focused there, as long as that's the center of your life, you will always be out of shape. You will always have problems. You'll always have stress. You've got to take the focus off of that and put the focus on God. And when you take the focus off of the problem and put it on God, then results peace. The man I learned this from is one of the people that is a Christian counselor. He's 92, 93 years old now, but his wife of 40 years had cancer. And she was dying with cancer, and he talked about, he had been all over the country telling people, the way you have peace is that you focus on God and not on the problem. And now his wife of 40 years was dying with cancer. And together they wrestle with, is it true what I've been saying all these years? Is it true that even in the midst of a terrible, terrible situation, that if I can take my eyes and my focus off of the problem and put my focus on God, that peace will come? And his testimony is that it's true. It is true. You, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I wish I could tell you, once you learn that, you got it. I need to tell you, it doesn't stick very well. You have to learn it over and over and over and over and over. Because as you face the problems of life, they become the center. They become the focus. They become, this is what's going on in my life. This is, all these things are blowing me out of the saddle. I don't like debt, and my truck won't run, and I have a problem. What am I going to do about that? And all those things get in the middle. And that's what I focus on. And then I got all kinds of problems. But if I would refocus and focus on God, that would result something. What is it? Peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I have to learn that over and over and over and over and over and over again. I don't know why I can't learn it and have it. And when things get to going wrong, I just know what to do. Just focus on God. But for some reason, that doesn't happen that way. So the first thing you need to do to get rid of the stress is to center your life and your thoughts on God. The second thing you need to do is to keep your priorities straight. Some of you have heard me say before, I believe practical priorities are the most difficult thing in life. Practicing priorities are the most difficult thing in life. I don't have any problem telling you what my priorities are. I have a lot of problem practicing those priorities. Does that make sense? God's first in my life. My family is second in my life. My job is third. And if you would ask my wife, she tells you all the time, she tells me all the time, I don't know whether she tells you or not, but she tells me all the time that I got them mixed up. That I say that, but my job really comes first. And you see, I believe my job should be third, even though my job is in the ministry. I believe God has to come first, and I believe my family needs to come second. But in practicing that, in trying to put that into practice, what happens in my life? All the time and all the energy and all the effort goes toward the job. And very little goes toward the family. And very little goes toward God. You see, many times when I'm reading my Bible and studying and all that stuff, I'm doing it because I'm preparing a lesson or sermon instead of preparing my relationship with God. Luke chapter 10. And as they were traveling along, he, meaning Jesus, entered a certain village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who, moreover, was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparation and she came up to Jesus and said to him, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And this was a priority issue. It wasn't an issue that we do one or the other. It was we do which one is the most important. You know what is the greatest threat to first place in your life? What's second place in your life? The greatest threat to what's first place in your life is what's second place in your life. What's 15th place in your life doesn't offer much threat to what's first in your life, does it? If it's 15th on the priority list, it probably don't ever get up to first place. Here was Jesus visiting in the home of Mary and Martha. Who was his brother, by the way? Who was that brother? He was visiting the home of Mary and Martha. Sounds like Martha owned the home, but it may have been owned by all three. I'm not sure. But Mary, when Jesus got there, she just wanted to listen to Jesus. She just wanted to learn and worship him. Martha was all concerned about fixing food. Now, fixing food for Jesus is not a bad thing, is it? It's not a sin, not something wrong with it. But when she came to Jesus and said, why don't you make her help me? This fascinates me that people always come to preachers think they can solve the problem. She's not helping me. You make her help me. And so Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do that. You're so bothered and worried about all these different things that need to be done. She chose the best thing. What's the best thing? To sit at the feet of Jesus. To put him first. So the reason our life is so stressed out is because our priorities are so mixed up. We got the wrong thing in first place. If we get the right thing in first place and keep it in first place, then the stress will go away. You're bothered and worried about so many different things. She's chosen the best. Have you chosen the best? In your life, is God really first? I don't mean in just saying He's first. Is He really first? When there's a decision to be made, is the first question, what does Jesus want me to do? Or is that the last question? And you can't figure out any other answer. When there's a decision to be made about where you're going to be and what you're going to do, is the question, what does Jesus want me to do? Is that the first question you ask? Is He really top priority? Is He really first place? See, we wrestle all the time with money being first place, selfishness being first place, pleasure being first place, enjoyment being first place, our children being first place, our family being first place. God's first place. I think one of the most romantic things I can say to my wife is, Linda, you're the second most important person in my life. Now, doesn't that sound very romantic? And yet, for a Christian, that ought to be the truth, right? God ought to be first. God ought to be first. And I want to tell you, if you can put God first, it solves a lot of problems in decision making. A lot of decisions just come automatically if God's first. And not all decisions, but a lot of them. If God's first, a lot of decisions you need to make, just, I know what He wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. So how do I have peace? What was the first way I mentioned? To focus my life on God and not on the problem of the people. The second way was that I keep my priorities straight. That I keep my priorities straight. That I keep rearranging. They keep getting pushed out of place. I keep putting them back up there. He's first every time. Then look at Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm always fascinated with Paul's response to the Philippian church. Because Paul would not take money from some churches. He would not accept money from the Corinthian church. He did take money from the Philippian church. And then he sent him a thank you note and said, I really didn't need it. This amazing thank you note. Not that I've learned to speak from want, but I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I want to tell you, that's a hard verse. Just to be content. I don't know that I've ever been content. I always wanted something or go somewhere or be something different than I am. Always. How about you? Are you content? Just, I'm satisfied. I think Paul did need the money. Because things changed after he got the money. But he said, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along in humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Tell me the next verse. Somebody read it. Somebody, everybody read it. Verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Most of the time when you study the Bible, you need to make sure you have the context. And the context here is Paul receiving a gift. And before that, he did not have enough money to do things he needed to do. After that, he did have the money. And he said, I'm content whether I've got it or I don't have it. But verse 13 is one of those verses that can almost stand by itself. You can just take that out of context and put it anywhere, it'll be okay. I can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens me. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. What happens if I really believe that and I'm in a stressful situation that's about to drive me crazy? If I really believe that and my situation is about to drive me nuts, maybe I don't believe that. If the situation is about to drive me over the edge, then I'm not sure I believe that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. If I believe that I can do all things, then I can face the difficulties that I face in life because I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So I shouldn't be stressed out and I shouldn't be just bent plain out of shape, because if He's there with me, He'll take care of it. Now, I don't have it on the sheet, but I would like somebody to read verse 19. Would you read verse 19? Anybody, just speak right out just like you at home.
And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches.
My God's going to meet how many of your needs? All of them. According to what? Whose riches? His riches. How rich is He? He owns it all, right? And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now I want to go back and emphasize something in verse 13, because I feel like sometimes people read that verse and say, well, then I can just sit down and do nothing. Look at verse 13 again and tell me who does it. I can do it. So it's not that I just sit down and rest and He does it all for me. I do it through His power, but I still do it, right? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So I don't need to be hung up and say, okay, I'm going to stop worrying about this and I'm going to stop working on this and I'm just going to just sit back and let God take care of it. That ain't what it says. That ain't what it means. It means that if I face difficulties and I face problems, I can overcome those problems through the power that Christ gives me. What was the first step in getting rid of the stress? Focus on God. What was the second step? Keeping my priorities straight. What was the third step? Be content and work in Jesus' power. And being content is just difficult. It's just tough. Because I am content and I'm still working. It's not that I'm content and I don't do anything. It's I'm working, but I'm satisfied with results I'm getting. I'm satisfied with how it's going because God's in control. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, most of you already know, I hope most of you already practice, says be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Two requirements, something I should not do and something I should do. What is it that I should not do? Be anxious. Worry. How many are guilty? No, I don't raise your hand. That's right. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead of worrying about it, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Pray about it. And when I pray about it, I'm supposed to pray with thanksgiving. I never read that verse, never study that verse, never speak about that verse that I don't think about. And it was something I was tempted to be worrying about. I was worrying about this. He says, don't worry about it anymore. Pray about it, and when you pray about it with thanksgiving. And when I go through that little procedure, I'd want to say, Lord, are you sure? Did you really mean to say, stop worrying about it, pray about it, and pray about it with thanksgiving? But if I do that, what does he promise? Okay. King James used to say, the peace that passeth all understanding. Let's pray the whole front row here with that. The peace that beyond understanding, that's beyond comprehension, that peace will come and set up a guard, a military guard around my heart and my mind. If I stop worrying and start praying, and I pray with thanksgiving. The first step was focus on God. The second step was keep the priorities straight. The third step was be content and work in the power of Jesus. The fourth step, pray instead of worrying. The fifth step is let the Holy Spirit produce His fruit in you. Let the Holy Spirit produce His fruit in you. If you become a Christian, when you become a Christian, you get the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. But there's a command after that to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means you are constantly being filled. It's not something that happens one time. It's something that happens over and over and over and over. And it is a command given to you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just happen automatically. It is a command that something you have to do to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. And if I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life, then the Holy Spirit produces in me certain fruit. And I think, I mean, I've read commentaries that get hung up on the word fruit being singular, and then they list nine fruits. You know, and they make a big deal about that. Some of them say, well, the first fruit is the only fruit, and the others are the result of that, and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think that at all. I think if you were to give me a bag of fruit that contains apples and oranges and grapes and all that stuff, and somebody said, what'd they give you? I would say a bag of fruit. Would I say a bag of fruits? No, I said a bag of fruit. And so I think when he said the fruit of the Spirit, all those things are involved, and it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So if I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life, there's love, and there's joy, and there's peace. What happens to the stress of those three things, just the first three in my life? Can I be stressed out and have those three things in my life at the same time? Not sure that I can. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How I get that is to allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that does it, but the Holy Spirit doesn't do it automatically. I have to allow Him to do it. I have to allow Him to control my life. I have to be filled with His Spirit. And one of the keys to being filled with the Spirit is I've got to empty myself out before I can fill the Spirit in. That makes sense? If I had a glass full of Coke and I wanted a glass full of water, one glass full of Coke and I wanted water instead of Coke, what would I have to do with the Coke? Somehow or another get rid of it. Somebody said, drink it. but I had to get rid of the Coke so I can fill it up with water. And many times the Holy Spirit does not fill us because we are full of ourselves. And I need to empty myself of my selfishness and my wants and allow the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens when I deny myself and put Him in total control? Everything just becomes better. It sounds backwards, but it works. If I put Him in control and take me out of control. If this is the throne of my heart, this is the King's throne in my heart, and nature says I'm on it, I'm in charge of my life, I'm in control. What has to happen is I have to get off of that throne and let Him sit on the throne. I have to allow Him to be in control of my life. And that's not easy. That's difficult. Because it just seems like that's backwards. There's no way that could work. If I want what I want, there's no way I can stop being in control of my life and give Him control of my life and have all these things. But you know how you have real life? Is give up this life. I am resolved to follow Jesus. How about you? I am resolved to follow Jesus. To allow Him to be in control of my life. And I think when I do that, when I refocus off of the problem and the people and focus on God, that peace comes. When I get my priorities straight, not that the other things are not important. The other things are important, they're just not the most important. When I pray instead of worry, when I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life, let me just try to sum up the whole thing by one of the points instead of all five of them. Four of them, five of them. I don't know how many it is. But I think the real key is getting the priorities straight. Putting God first. Really. Not just in theory, but in practice. God's first. I'm not first. My husband or wife is not first. My church is not first. My money is not first. My job is not first. All those things in my life, every one of them, and every one of them important in my life. And I'm not talking about getting rid of those. I'm just talking about rearranging those. That God's number one. And if I put God first, I can deal with the stress. Need a little bit of stress. A little bit of stress is good. Like a little bit of fire is good. And a little bit of water is good. Too much fire is bad. Too much water is bad. Too much stress is bad. This is how I handle the stress. Refocus on God and keep God as my priority. I am resolved to follow Jesus. Would you stand as we sing?